Blog Talk Radio.
For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?
Pray,
power. Praise him. He is the Elohim of the Israelites. He is Yahweh, our sovereign King. It is good to give thanks unto Yahweh and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, O Most High, O Most High. Shalom.
Shalom. Hallelujah. Bless y'all. Bless y'all. Sister Ashley here, another live Sister to Sister show. I am in Tennessee. Mother Jennifer's in Georgia. I have her on the line for you tonight. I bless you all in the victorious, mighty, overcoming name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you for your time, for tuning in. We got an awesome testimony for you tonight. We're going to share via email and jump into you, Mother Jennifer. Let's get a sound check.
Hallelujah. Bless you, Sister Ashley. We went back old school. That's one of my favorite intro songs, the Psalms 92. So blessings to you and blessings to all the daughters of Zion. It's really good to be here for another episode of Sister to Sister. I can hear you very well. I pray you can hear me, and I'm excited about tonight's show. So I think we can go ahead and move on.
Hallelujah. I want to give all praises to the Most High Yah. I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. I have trusted in your mercy, O Yah. My heart rejoices in you and in your salvation. I believe in your return. I thank the Father for everyone listening and tuning in. I thank you for just following so intentively with diligence. I hope that everyone is growing in strength and being the best you that you can be, not making excuses. Hallelujah. You're following a very strong ministry, rooted and grounded in the word of the living Elohim, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I pray you're not veering off the path because of anyone that is interwoven or connected with that ministry that is misrepresenting us in any way. I pray that you are holding to the branches, as I am, and waiting patiently on his return. I glorify you tonight, Father, and I thank you so much for the blood of the Lamb. Because of it, I'm able to speak, move, live, and breathe. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for every soul that has been bought and paid for and purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for my shepherd, for his character, for not wavering, for taking major hits from the enemy and still standing. I thank him for doing his leading and his due diligence as a shepherd and continue to teach us past anything that he may experience in his flesh. I'm thankful, hallelujah, for my husband and my master, who also follows so intently behind the scenes and loves the body and the brethren. I'm glad to share my life with him. I really am, every moment. I look forward to him getting home every day. I look forward to every conversation we ever have and every moment of his time that he gives me. Hallelujah. Thankful for the children that I have bore from my womb, and all praises to the Most High. Shout out to communities. Bless y'all. Everyone digging in, going against sin, hell, and the devil, joining in into this body and fighting so earnestly together. Hey, I can't think of a better word sometimes than dig in. Or sometimes I'll say buckle up, because some of us, we just ain't going nowhere. Look forward to all the Lion's Dens and everything that the ministry puts out. Look forward to all the messages and the videos. And special thank you to the up-and-coming Houston Saints. Is it Houston? I say Houston. Y'all ain't been to Texas in my life. Erica Perez, bless you. Bless you and your husband. All right. Here we are, week after week. I told you last week we got to do a countdown for Passover. Let's do that. While Mother Jennifer speaks to y'all, I'll be back with some numbers. Go ahead, Mother Jennifer. Share your heart.
Hallelujah. I want to first and foremost acknowledge the Most High Yah for his loving commitment and his faithfulness. His word promises that, if we stand, excuse me, and we continue to be righteous, that we will flourish and we will continue to bear fruit even in old age. And I'm thankful that he is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him at all. And because of that, I can live a lifestyle that is righteous. I can live a lifestyle that's free of sin. I'm so thankful for the examples that he puts before me in the form of my elder, my husband, Elder Rufus, for being the righteous example that he is, for being the servant that he is no matter what, for serving the people of Yah with a grateful heart, with such gratitude. It's an honor to be able to learn from him how to be selfless, how to love the people of Yah in such a selfless way, never considering and putting his own needs first. I pray that I just become more and more like him daily and to really be able to exhibit the patience that he shows, the love that he shows the saints, and even the discernment that he walks in. And I want to finally acknowledge our shepherd, Pastor Dow, for the love that he shows to Yah's people and the resolve that he has in his heart to continue to follow Yah no matter what. You know, I'm so happy that he had the resolve in his heart 30 years ago, over 30 years ago, really, to follow the Most High and the fruit that has been developed from that. You know, today we are on this broadcast because of that fruit, because of the love that Pastor Dow has for the Most High Yah. Thankful for the growth that our shepherd has shown over the years and never holding back at all, always giving, always being a man who gives all. He has given all and he continues to give all. He's very, very selfless. His entire family, for what they give behind the scenes, what they do behind the scenes. Thank you so much for the examples that you set in many ways. And Sister Ashley, that's all I have.
Hallelujah. Sometimes I would love to entertain y'all with the behind the scenes. Mother Jennifer, I'm intunely listening to your very serious speech while my background is trying to count down to a date that we don't have in front of us. So it's very humorous. And some say March, some say April. So we're going 20 weeks, Mother Jennifer. We're going 20 weeks. Very well said. Very, very well said that we're only here, hallelujah, because of that vision. What did you say, Seth? I have a small audience, 6 months until Passover. I have a small audience. Can y'all say shalom?
Shalom.
Can we say it better?
Shalom.
Yes. Hallelujah. I'm telling y'all, the goal this whole death season is to pick up heavy hands. Hallelujah. Every time you come to the fifth day show, pick up heavy hands, make smiles, create some praise and worship, stick some songs into it, whatever we got to do to continue together to praise the Most High Yah and get victory over the devil. So I got four with me tonight, four beloved sisters, and tune in just like you are. Thanks for your time. Hallelujah. Thank y'all so much for your time. We can get right off into it if we don't have any announcements, do we, Mother Jennifer?
I have no announcements. I do want to say that I really enjoyed the format of last week's show. Sister Ashley, you really do a good job with putting the shows together and the formats, and it's nice to you know, to be able to show up and to be here with you, but I'm so thankful that you really lead this in an excellent spirit, so thank you.
Thank you so much. You've always supported me, honestly, and I enjoyed it too. We're going to try to do that again tonight, and hey, if you guys have some songs that you ever want to hear or share, you can send them to us. I'm very, very, very picky with anything that I would ever pick or play coming from this ministry, so I'm not going to just pick anything. Of course, we enjoy all the beats at the beginning of Lion's Den, right? You can't really, look, I got my audience making noises behind me. You can't really come behind that, but we're going to do our own thing. Hallelujah. This is just something in my heart. So here we go. We're going to the testimony. It's been a while since we've been in the inbox. We're going to the Gmails. And if you don't know anything about our emails, let me tell you, if you're interested in hearing from us in any manner or whatever we have ever talked about, or if you have any questions, if you are tormented by something that you don't understand, I'm telling you, what I tell you last week, Sister Tammy, I was at the feet of those who could help me continually. Like, I'm sure I got on their nerves, right? But you got this ministry right in front of you where people are, you know, soaring, getting free, getting deliverance, and, you know, it's going to take some humility, some sincerity, and some shedding of the weight of fear and things that are on your mind to really touch the hem of his garment with us. Hallelujah. So I know this testimony will reach out tonight. We're going to tell it like a love story. I mean, it sank in. You know how we all have our highlights from our shows? And I'm going to go back to email for a minute because I'm going to talk a little bit more about how the email process is. But you know how we have our shows that really stick out? Or, you know, that's our favorite, that's my favorite, or this one or that one or whatever you guys might enjoy from the ministry. And I particularly remember a time that Mother Jennifer talked about going back and returning to your first love, you know, finding your first love again. And she came out of the Word in Revelations. And, man, it just stuck with me. It really stuck with me. And y'all have y'all's times and statements and quotes that people say that really stick with you, too. It's all the molding process. That's how the Father breaks you down and builds you back up. He molds you by the common unity and the camaraderie of those around you. And the building up process is not just something that you do and that you do alone. It's literally by the brethren. So Brother Daniel's right when he talks about, hey, disobedience keeps you scattered, right? And then obedience brings you together. So, well said. And back to emails. If you send us an email at straightwayhelpmeetsalllowercase@gmail.com, they are all read, every single one of them. They are filtered through three of us. Sometimes all three of us will read the same one, making sure it gets to the right person. If you put something in the subject box like for Mother Jennifer, it's going to go straight to her and no one else. If it says for Sister Ashley, it's going straight to me. If you say you need in the subject box South Carolina, for example, it's going to go straight to South Carolina. We're going to try to send your email to the person that is best suited for you. We don't have any big eyes in this ministry I'm not soliciting you to email us by any means, but if you weren't aware of our inbox, it's there, straightwayhelpmeets@gmail.com. lowercase. We get praise reports, we get testimonies, we get questions. Hey, let me go here. Let's see. Da-da-da. What just happened? Did you see that? Oh, man. The devil is such a liar, y'all. Half my thing just erased. Okay, hold on. I'm going to try to go back. And it's not even letting me click. Oh, he's a liar. May he be bound in Jesus' name. Hey, so we have a 17-year-old that reached out, and it was just encouraging. Nothing that I have to read. I was going to, but what I need is my inbox, Sakina, and what's here is a frozen Gmail page, and I don't need to lose any of my tabs because some of them just vanished without even touching anything. Yeah, so she's 17, and she reached out. She didn't mention who she had spoken to within the ministry. I think she said someone of age on the land. Yes, I need that, and I need right here, this one. Boom. Click here. Thank you very much. That's my reply. We don't have to read that. Thank you for the downtown sanctuary. Okay, Sister Shalom, Sister Ashley. I am Sister so-and-so. I'm 17 years old. I've been in the faith almost 6 months. I struggle with a lot. I recently been in contact with one of the mothers on Straightway Land. She's an amazing and beautiful spirit. She encouraged me to seek out Yah, which, if you notice, that's all we're ever going to do. It's our love story. We're sending you to our master, straight to our master. You reach out to me, I'm telling you about my husband. Back to the email, it says, encouraged me to seek out Yah, which I have already known was the thing to do, but I believe I was just waiting to hear those words from a holy woman because for some reason that meant a lot to me because I don't have a woman like that in my life. I don't have a role model. You understood that, right, Tammy?
Yeah.
I've actually been trying to reach you for a while. You have taught me a lot and been so real about things at times. I felt like you were speaking directly to me, but I know you don't know me, and I don't know you either. But I've reached out to Elder Becker from the dining hall. I haven't actually spoken to him yet. I left a voicemail. I would really like to be able to come and visit the land. I'd like to come and meet Pastor, Mother Carol, you also. I'd like to be delivered from my wickedness. I am 17. I know there's a lot that I don't know that other people can obviously see about me. And y'all willing, I'll be cleansed from my wickedness. And I'll be a holy young daughter of Zion. My life is really complicated. My situation, I've been through a lot in my life. I've been violated by many, many men more than once. I've been on drugs. I've been on hard drugs. Been under the devil's wing. You understand that, Chef?
Yes.
I'm just so wicked, she says. But I feel that going through all of these things, I really need a really good deliverance. I need role models in my life. I need holy women. I know iron sharpens iron. You can tell she listens, right? But I don't have any iron to sharpen me. I was just hoping you would reach back to me and give me a little bit of advice. Thank you for being who you are. I love you, Sister Ashley. Now, I replied, your email is touching, my sister. It's me, Ashley, your big sister. And let me tell you, I got someone on the land I want you to contact. And I told her her name. And then I said, remember, and I put in all caps, don't ever let anyone get in the place that Yahweh should have in your heart. You're lonely, you're desperate, you're vulnerable. Stay on your knees. Cry out, repent, turn from your ways. Lose your friends. Honor your father and mother if they're still around. Stay low-key. Email me when you need me. But lean to the Most High Yah through our show. I'm so happy that you're listening. We love you. If you commit to us, we will commit to you. Endure, endure, endure. Our King is coming. His servant and big sister in Christ. Hallelujah. So let's jump to one that Mother Jennifer can read. Or do you even have, you have any feedback on that one, Mother Jennifer?
I just want to say, Sister Ashley, some of the best advice and the best way to help someone is to show them how to get a hold of Yah, and to not step in like you are the Holy Spirit for them. Show them how they can receive the Holy Spirit. So, you know, just very, very sobering. So thank you for sharing that. Sister Ashley?
Absolutely. Another sister says, Shalom, all praise to the Most High Yah. I wanted to say how much the humility that everyone shows me has shocked me and humbled me, most importantly the behavior of Mother Carol and Mother Jennifer. I still find that I don't know how to respond to this. My earthly mother is everything they are not. What I see every time I speak to Mother Carol or Mother Jennifer can only be described as shell-shocked and humbling. Shalom and blessings to our shepherd, our elders, and deacon's house. Thanks for listening, my sister. Thanks for your email. I understand all of us look up to somebody. We'll pick out one or two or maybe even more women, and we'll cling to them. So it is a dynamic that the Father uses to provoke you to righteousness and put someone before you that is proof of his blood and transformation. So bless the Most High Yah's name that we have women like that in our midst. Let's jump to it. The email that we held off last week because it has some meaty content. It has, we could go different directions with it, and it's lengthy. Really, that's the only plan for the show tonight is this one email, so we'll see how long it takes us. I'm going to pause you here and there, Mother Jennifer. So go ahead and kick it off. You ready to read?
Yes, ma'am, I'm ready, and that's perfect. Please do pause because I think there's a lot of content in here, and I just don't want to skip over anything. You ready?
Yes, hey, read the first paragraph, and I'm coming in behind you. Go ahead.
All right. She says, I thank the Most High Yah for allowing Sister to Sister to be a source of healing for me as he speaks his words of truth through both Mother Jennifer and Sister Ashley. I pray the Most High allows this testimony to help another sister in her journey towards repentance and loving the Father. I'm encouraged by my master to share my transition, which led to obedience and transparency with the Father and him. I have overcome self-condemnation, guilt, and self-hatred. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I have overcome self-condemnation, guilt, and self-hatred. Can we rejoice with those who rejoice? Hit the shofar.
Hallelujah.
Christina, hallelujah. He has overcome. Body, name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hit that so far. Anybody ever been bound? Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So
hallelujah.
You know how Yes, absolutely. If you know how it feels to be bound, then you should absolutely be able to rejoice when someone is free. I got a song. I'm gonna interject a song, my husband's favorite, one of his favorites. Here it comes, y'all. Can we say I'm an overcomer?
I'm an overcomer.
I'm an overcomer.
Yeah.
Overcomer. I'm an overcomer.
Across the front. That's my favorite word right now. My favorites change often, right, Tammy?
Yes.
But right now, overcomer is my favorite word. Are you an overcomer, my sisters? I hope so. I hope so. Satan's going to test that boast. Satan is going to test that boast. Hallelujah. But we got the blood. All right, so she says she overcomes self-condemnation, guilt, and self-hatred. You know she's got a story. Let's hear it, my Jennifer. Back to the email.
She says, prior to conversion, I was an overall happy, obedient, and quiet child that turned into a wild, selfish woman. As a child, I was a daddy's girl. There wasn't anywhere my father went that I wasn't at his side, and there wasn't anything I couldn't have. My parents were never together, from what I can remember, but my father was always present. I lived in both the Caribbean and New York, as I was split between two households. At age 5, I was molested by a cousin that is about 10 to 12 years older than me. This occurred on my first visit to the Caribbean to visit my grandmother. I never spoke on this until I was 14. I revealed this to my sister, who then revealed the same thing happened to her with him when they were children. I recently told my mother this a few months ago, as she would call me asking why I don't speak with him anymore ever since I met my master. She then revealed to me that she and her sister were both molested by their oldest brother as children. Generational curses. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Thank you. Disclosure is a process. I know that, right? Yes. Communicating sexual assault is a process. So the world will mock that process like you need to come forth with some, you know, with it immediately, right? If you know spiritual tactics, you feel powerless, you feel betrayal, you feel stigmatization, you know, you feel the secrecy and the shame related to that sexual assault. You feel the traumatic exposure, the fear, the pain, the instead of the pleasure, intimacy, and the choice that was robbed from you. You have, yes, I mentioned shame already, but you have the fear of not being believed. You have the fear of being blamed, right? Because maybe it is how you look. Maybe it is how you dress. She's five. She's five, right? You got fear of punishment. Most people, you know, if you're a teen and you're going to avoid disclosing it, you fear parental punishment. There's no love in the home. You fear partly being responsible because it was something that happened to you, so you embrace it. You don't know who's the perpetrator and who's the victim, you know. And trauma, trauma, trauma. You know anything about trauma, you feel shocked, you feel dazed, you feel confused. You don't remember all the details. You can barely even tell it back, right? You feel dirty. So you have this experience that happened at five. Fast forward 14 years old, and she decides she's going to reveal it to her sister, right? Her sister reveals it or communicates the same thing had happened to her. And then, boom, recently, which she's older now, she's over 20, she's just recently told her mother. That disclosure is a process that so many women experience. But remember, we're telling a love story, right? We're telling a love story because she has met her maker. Back to the email, Mother Jennifer.
She says, at age 7, while living in the Caribbean, I was hit by a car, and my father demanded that I move back with him. She said she had a stepsister, and they didn't get along well because of resentment. The stepsister resented her. She says, when things between my stepsister and I were not getting any better, I told my father I wanted to move back with my mother. Before leaving, my father gave me a Bible. And he wrote, stay in the word. From 7th grade through college, I lived in the Caribbean with my mother and stepfather. Looking back now, I realized I had a lot of freedom with my mother. And my father was more of a disciplinarian, as he was an ex-Marine and firefighter. My mother's relationship with my stepfather allowed me to see what I didn't want to become, but eventually became. There were many times I saw my mother cry herself to sleep and sometimes take her anger out on my sister and me due to my stepfather's infidelity. By the age of 15, I dated a man who was 4 years older than me that cheated often. I became selfish, jealous, insecure, rejected, as I felt he would put female friends and his ex-girlfriends in front of my needs. But I was timid and didn't speak up for myself, and I couldn't hold back. The quiet riot mentality that Pastor often speaks of. We were to be engaged, and I left him, and the quiet, timid girl left with him. I could not be tamed. I became promiscuous as I had acquired this mentality of, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care who I hurt because these people don't care about my feelings. I became defensive toward women. I didn't trust them because I felt they wanted to purposely hurt me. When I did have female friends, I never became completely transparent with them about my life. Sister Ashley?
All right. All right, so I want to speak to the young women for a moment, right? The young women, if you notice, and I mean virgin women, And I mean women who have not been touched by a man and women who are holding themselves, which is to be commended in the eyes of the Most High Yah. Hallelujah. If you just heard what happened to her, when you decide to go another way, you decide you want to go get loose or you decide you want to date a man. Now, is she a victim? Absolutely. But I'm going to tell you, this is what even our shepherd talks about. When you lay with a man and it's not done right, right? At the age of 15, she's dating a man. What just happened? She goes, she becomes selfish, jealous, and insecure. She becomes rejected. She now has a issue with female friends. She's no longer quiet, though she explains it as the quiet riot. She was promiscuous. As far as we know, this is just the behavior that happened with just one man. You get it? This is the story of a lot of women. When you link up with someone who is not a man according to the law and the faith, you don't follow the order, and you just loosely give yourself away. It is not to be condemned because you can be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, but I'm saying these powerful words that she's bringing out when she says, I don't care who I hurt. All that comes when you receive that man's DNA. All that. She took on so much. Right? Back to you. Let's read her story, Mother Jennifer.
I want to add, Sister Ashley, before I go on, that a woman was never, ever created to take on many men's DNA. A woman was created for one man. So, again, if you're in that position, like Sister Ashley said, you can be forgiven, you can be set free. But if you have not defiled yourself, if you are a daughter of Zion who and you've kept yourself, then really, really listen to what we're saying tonight because you'll understand why. You were not created for more than one man. And if you have given yourself to more than one man, if you've given yourself over, if you've been that promiscuous woman, you can be set free. So please, I just hope that everyone truly listens tonight. Back to the letter. At age 19, living on a small island, everyone knows you. So I began to feel entitled and conceited. I was studying to be a nurse, and I attracted a lot of attention. During this time, I met a man that was about 8 years older than me. The soul tie between us was dangerous. He was possessive and overly protective, but I enjoyed it. He was in relationships with many women and lived with one. I realized I had now become the woman I resented, and I didn't care. I became pregnant by him in my junior year of college. When I finally took a pregnancy test and told him, his exact words were, if you have this baby, it would be World War III, and I can't do that to you. I never cried so much in my life after that abortion. I prayed to God over and over about how sorry I was. I was scared and hurt because I knew my family expected more from me, especially my father. I couldn't release myself from him until he went to jail a few years later. Sister Ashley?
Hey, let's interject a song. I pray y'all can hear the words, right? Because we're building a love story. Y'all know the end of the letter is amazing, right? You hear the background. You hear the emotions that she was, as she's now older and she reflects back on it, she can say, I was selfish and jealous and insecure. I was rejected. Then she says, I was entitled. I was conceited. I got another man. I was dangerous, was possessive. I became the woman I resented, right? This is a large majority of stories. I mean, a large majority of stories, and it all came at the brink of sexual promiscuity. Really, that's what fragments the soul. All right. I hope you can hear it. Because, you know, when singers don't really enunciate their words, I pray that you can hear every detail. It's a beautiful, beautiful song because she's on her way to becoming clean. This is a song titled Clean.
I finish at her.
Hallelujah. You hear that, my 17-year-old daughter, friend, and sister? There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. Washed by the blood of his sacrifice. Hallelujah. Dirty rags made white. Let's hear some more of her love story.
Hallelujah. She says, at age 21, 6 months before my college graduation, my father died of a heart attack while fighting a fire, and my world crumbled. I blamed myself for his death, as I thought this was my punishment for the abortion and for not telling him. I resented the Most High secretly in my heart. I drank more, partied more, and became depressed. I couldn't understand how Yah could take him from me when he was the only protection I had here in this world. When my father died, I inherited money from his career and the state. My stepmother now had 3 children, but me being the oldest, I was the only one that had access to the money. I paid for the funeral, made sure all his children, including my stepsister, received money from his death. Eventually, they turned their backs on me after the money was distributed. Once again, I felt rejected. 6 months after my father died, I experienced more death in my family. Death was all around me, and I had no one to comfort me. At age 23, I met a man that emotionally confused me and caused deep hurt. I wanted to be a wife, and I wanted to fix my wrongdoings by becoming a mother. I started to go back to church, but I still had resentment towards Yah. I tried to follow what my father desired of me, stay in the Word. Sister Ashley?
It's amazing how you can read it and understand, like, with the angle that we're coming at, because we could have took so many different angles that, you know, she's steady looking for somebody to love and somebody to love her, you know? And it really is the majority of the heart's issues, like the hunger for love, the love that is not meet back to you, and you find somebody else, and you get the emotions entangled into that, and then what? And you go look for that high again, and you get your emotions entangled in the next one, and the next one, and you get a fragmented soul, and you can hear how fragmented she's becoming. Like I said, so many hundreds of stories behind this microphone have the same echo. And so now she's getting a bad vibe off of the men in her life, and no one's like her father. You know, her father was there for her. Now remember, to be a daddy's girl, it means you're attached or indulged by the father, which can be a good thing or an unsafe thing, right? You don't want to run around with that tag too long and have a package that comes with that. If you're a daddy's girl, consider what that means. Consider what you need to renounce, right? But now she's looking for a man, getting emotionally confused. She's done a lot of self-reflecting, obviously, being a part of this ministry, because she's able to speak in a way that, hey, this is my story, this is what I've done, and this is what has happened to me. Right? So, let's move on. You enjoying the story?
Yes.
Yes, my audience? Yes?
Yeah.
Interesting, right?
Yes.
We all have one, and really it should be, it's a ladylike characteristic, it's a sisterly characteristic that we would want to hear from one another. At the same time, we listen, we're trained to listen a certain way. So we don't listen to someone who's coming for help, for example. We don't we give her the truth. We give her what she needs. We don't baby anybody, right? So we're not going to baby her circumstance, but she definitely trusts us enough to open up this way. Maybe never even told the entirety of this story to anyone in her life except maybe her master, maybe her biological sister, right? But all the distrust and the mistrust that you form throughout your whole life, then you come to the faith, and then sometimes through thorns of the flesh you even get betrayed, right? So circumstances happen to isolate you and to keep all these things in. I hope that you are strategizing against your enemy and really pouring out your heart like water. Hallelujah. So back to the email, Mother Jennifer.
I want to just say to really pay attention to it. I think it's really interesting when you go through these situations in life and you put yourself in these situations and you find yourself in these situations that the devil will try to accuse Yahweh in your mind and in your heart. And Yahweh really is the only one that can heal you. So it makes sense that, you know, he throws all these accusations against Yahweh to you to separate you, because Yah is the only one that's going to be able to heal you. So in your heart, you become bitter towards Yah. You know, you think that all these things have come upon you because of him, and the only way to get healed is because of him. So really pay attention to that. Regardless of what you're dealing with or what you're going through, the only way to get through it is to go to Yah. And you've got to face the fact that you might have some hidden bitterness in your heart or some resentment in your heart. And in order to move forward, you have to be able to confess that and to truly deal with it. You ready to go forward, Sister Ashley?
Hey, let me interject. I have this mentality I'll share with everybody that I won't let the devil accuse my father to me. Does that stop him? No. But if you really want to, how would I say it? If you want to grow, you want to mature, you want to believe that you are loved, the last thing that you need to do is listen to the enemy's communication about your father, right? With your love story and everything that he's done for you, let it never be forgotten. Because when the enemy comes, with the accusations against your father. Consider your father. Consider how your father is being hurt by your agreement with his enemy. And so I have this mentality that really wants to please Yah in my heart of hearts. If anybody's ever felt the impact of an accusation, then you should consider what an accusation feels like to your father, right? The enemy is constantly, constantly accusing our Creator to us. That's the whole war, right? Why something happened was because of Yah or you. And if it was because of you, it was because Yah didn't help you, right? He's going to constantly come with those angles. A 17-year-old, she just emailed in. Hard life, under the devil's wings, she said. Hard drugs, tons of men, or rapes, or whatever. How many times do you think the enemy is going to come try to spit in an ear like that, that y'all let all that happen? And you finally come into the faith, you meet the Most High Yah for the first time, you meet his men, you meet his women, you meet the people, he loves you, he brings you in, and now he's got to fight through all the accusations you hold against him or the accusations you have an agreement with his enemy. So even if you can't make an accusation stop, and I can't. I can't make a thought come or go. I can cast them down. I don't mean that. I'm just saying when you got an enemy who's going to bring something to you, all you can do is produce great faith and just reject any accusation that the enemy brings to you about your father. I say that over and over, but hallelujah. That's my point, Mother. Now, Jennifer, going back to the letter, please.
She says, at age 23, she met a man that emotionally confused her. She said this man had 3 children of his own, and he didn't want any more. But in her selfish mind, she thought, I'll become what he needs. He'll marry me, and I'll be a great mother to all his children. This relationship led to even more resentment toward women, as every woman lusted for him because his father was a senator and their family was well known in the Caribbean. I wanted to be a part of that family, she says. She says she was obsessed. He would sometimes compare me to other women. His mother said, either you're going to stay with this family and not complain or leave, because you can't complain and be here. It's not what we do as women in this family. She says, I felt so insecure about myself that I had plastic surgery to make him want me more because I badly desired to have him to myself. After that surgery, I was in the hospital for 30 days due to an infection. I lost over 50 pounds unwillingly. The doctors thought I was going to die. After coming out of the hospital, I became bitter. She says, at the age of 27, she left him. She says, I felt like I was going crazy. This relationship led to 1 miscarriage and 3 abortions. He wanted me to mother his children, but didn't want to be a father to my children. Time was harder than the last, and I cried more and became more depressed. I felt like I was a walking graveyard and thought I was cursed. I knew God would never forgive me, no matter how many nights I asked him to. I felt unworthy. Sister Ashley?
I'm listening intensively. Thank you for asking. I don't have anything at this time.
She says, at age 29, I met my master. During this time, I wasn't attending church, but I was praying often, asking Yah to help me through my pain and send me someone that was going to love me past my fault. My master was different. He was caring and loving, but didn't shower me with gifts and Google me quotes like other men did. It was foreign to me. He was coming into the faith and had been watching Pastor Dow for about a year. We were apart for most of our first year together as I worked in California on a travel nursing assignment. The distance challenged me because my master challenged my thoughts on family, friendships, sorority life, and my belief. I wasn't used to that, but something kept me drawn to him and what he was teaching me about the Most High. A year into our relationship, I moved to Charleston to be with him. It was another challenging process. The Most High caused my master to love me with a firm hand who didn't baby me as I wanted. I had experienced so much hurt that I was guarded, but I wanted my master to protect and save me. I didn't know how to trust him with my secret. He was very open about his past, and I was ashamed of mine. I was defensive. I almost felt like an abused animal. I had fear, anger, sadness, bitterness, and unforgiveness in my heart. My master saw this with my healing. I'm thankful every day for that process because instead of holding my hand and catering to my emotions every time I felt some type of rejection, which was not placed by him, but my mind from my past, my master would let Yah deal with me. Sister Ashley?
I enjoy the difference. Y'all see it, right? In the quality of the men that she was with. She finally met someone different. What really where my mind went was, you know, we help a lot of sisters, and I don't think I've ever said this on the air, because you can't leave the woman's mind up to discern correctly. You can't just toss something out there and expect everybody to discern appropriately and correctly and apply it correctly. And so it's the reason why I haven't, until this time, ever talked about it. But some women will say, should I tell my husband this, this, and this about my past? Should I tell him that I did this? Should I tell him that I went through this? And da, 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 right? So some of you are like, what's Ashley going to say? Should she tell? Should she not tell? Does he tell? Does he not tell? Right? I'm keeping you hanging on the line. I'm keeping you hanging on the edge of your seat on purpose. What does the ministry say about sharing? He's your master. He's your everything. You tell him everything. He's your, right? Pause. Mother Jennifer, interject some wisdom.
Sister Ashley, I think the safest place that a woman can be is in the trust of her husband. Knowing that she can trust him, knowing that he can impart the love and the discernment, everything that she needs, that man has. Even when there's things that I don't understand, things that, you know, I have no discernment on, I know I can go to elder. I can go to my brother. I can go to my husband. I can go to him, and I can just pour out my heart before him. And he's the one that's going to give me what I need, the understanding that I need. Sometimes he'll say, you know, you just need to really continue to press Yah. You need to get with Yah. And he will let me know that. But the safest place is going to be with your husband. Sister Ashley.
Very good. So, like she said, you put your trust in your husband. Sometimes your deliverance is hinging on it. Sometimes your deliverance is really banking on you opening up and sharing something with him that you're holding back on. Now, the flip side, there are things that you have done that have nothing to do with him that are entirely too painful to pierce his heart with if it's something that you don't need to trust him with. I'm not teaching division, I'm teaching discernment, because I have had some doozies presented to my ears, and I've passed them up the chain, because some things need to be handled maturely, okay? So you're going to hear how her transparency was necessity for her healing. You're going to hear more about it, right? And so let that minister to anyone who is wondering or wavering, right, who needs to pray or seek or is holding something back. Because it's not easy for a woman to, okay, she's been shamed or raped or molested, right, maybe didn't have a father, completely mistrust all atmospheres, female friends don't exist, gossiped, been jealous, been selfish, right? check these boxes all the way down on your resume of who you were. It's not easy to just come over and turn in this new man resume and say, oh, I trust everybody, let me just pour everything out, right? So every situation is delicate and different, but for her it was absolute necessity. So I'm going to interject a song suggested by Mother Jennifer. Here we go. Too low song. Let me switch it up. Let me go to this one, Mother Jennifer. Let me go back. I'm pulling up your second best. Where was it? Don't tell me. Here we go. We got the volume on this song.
Thank you.
another more fair, another more holy. Jesus, you are fairer than the sons of men, and that's the truth. Hallelujah, straightway. We got some amazing love stories in this ministry, I'm telling you. Y'all drawing us all back to him. Hallelujah, teaching us his love. Man, you know y'all ain't never loved me with feelings. Can y'all repeat after me? I'll do this in my class. Repeat after me, please. Y'all don't love me.
Y'all don't love me.
With feelings.
With feelings.
But he gives me.
But he gives me.
His spirit.
His spirit.
To feel after him.
To feel after him.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
You don't love me with feelings. I'm looking for feelings. Y'all, you ain't sent me one yet. I know the Holy Spirit, yes, 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 we know, right? But when it comes to the feelings, man, we fighting this feeling game, ain't we?
Yes.
Fighting in this emotion realm, ain't we, Mother Jennifer? We just shedding
Hallelujah.
Them, too. I ain't going to feel that. I ain't going to feel that. I ain't going to feel that. And you're going to get up off of me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Y'all don't love me with feelings, but he gives me a spirit to feel after him. Mother Jennifer, back to the letter and yourself.
Yes, ma'am. She says, one day when my thoughts were running wild and I was complaining about my husband not loving me enough, he said, if this walk is something you cannot handle, then maybe we should part ways because I can't love you more than I love the Most High. You can't love me more than you do the Most High. I was used to gifts, trips overseas, dinners at expensive restaurants, VIP parties. And my master was not giving me what I wanted and what I felt I deserved since I had been through so much. Worldly riches. It was as if I was punishing him for all the things that happened to me. And I wanted him to fix it all. But it wasn't him, it was me. When he said those words to me, I became even angrier at Yah because now I felt like, will I ever be loved? I've been molested, abandoned, abused, used, degraded as a woman. And I've prayed to you over and over, and you still hate me. What more do you want from me? I was so defensive that I couldn't take correction from my master or pastor when I heard him speak through the television. Sister Ashley?
Continue.
She says, that evening, I stumbled across Sister to Sister, and the Most High humbled me. I heard him say through Sister Ashley, break your will. You've loved everyone else above me, and your disobedience allows you to think that I owe you something. I was fearful, and I fell to my knees and repented. I cried out to receive the Holy Spirit and for a renewed mind. Repentance came more and more each day as I realized I had to put the Most High first and not my desires. For me to let go and to be submissive in a righteous way to my master, I had to submit to the Father first. Didn't know what that looked like. What I thought submission was in my past was unrighteous. I had to become transparent with Yah, my master, and myself, which was extremely hard. My master says, you need to face the man in the mirror and be prepared to see the ugly you. But I didn't want to because I knew the ugly me emotionally and physically, but not spiritually. I couldn't let go of my guilt, shame, and defense. My master knew of one abortion, but not all. We tried to conceive for close to 2 years. My last abortion was in 2015. So from that year to 2021, I thought I was barren. I was disappointed. Every month we didn't conceive, and my husband couldn't understand why I was placing so much pressure on myself to become a mother. Sister Ashley, you have anything you want to interject?
Hallelujah. Let's hit it. I'm going to another song. sometimes you just got to stop and praise him, right? Stop and praise him. Even in the midst of all this, she's still yearning, still communicating, still pleading, still begging, still crying, still emotionally and physically a wreck, right? Full of guilt, shame, and defense, trying to hear her husband, plowing in hope, right? He's not giving up. She's not giving up. She's learning how to submit, have a renewed mind. Hallelujah. You got to stop and praise. Sometimes you just got to praise because you're trying. Now, I ain't about making no excuses if you're trying ain't getting you nowhere, though. But for certain, her master and her Yah is dealing with her. So here we go. We're amping up in this love story. We're amping up. Let's go, Ms. Jennifer.
Hallelujah. She says, on May 10th, 2020, the day of Pentecost, I received the Holy Spirit and had my first deliverance. I cried and spoke in tongues for almost 3 hours. That year, we went to our first Feast of Tabernacles, and I received more deliverance from the spirit of feminism as Mother Zsa Zsa laid her hands on me. That demon was strong. 2 weeks after, while watching football in our living room, I heard the Father say, "It's time." There were so many times I wanted to tell my husband about my abortions, but fear overwhelmed me. For the Father to work on healing me, I had to go to my husband with everything that I was battling for him to make a petition to the Father, and I wasn't prepared to be that transparent with him. That night, I gave him everything that I had. When I finally revealed all my truth, it took 4 hours of deliverance to remove the filth that I had been holding on to, soul ties, rejection, bitterness, and self-condemnation. The next day, I felt naked, and I fasted for the first time because I needed that time with the Father. I spoke with Mother Jennifer and cried to her because I didn't understand why I felt so light but heavy. She led me to Lamentations 3 and said, "This is you being transparent and a process you must go through with the Father to show obedience to him and your master." I didn't like it because I had never been this transparent with myself or anyone in my life. I had given my master everything, still fearful, thinking he'll use this against me or he'll judge me, and he never did. The one spirit I couldn't truly let go of was guilt and unforgiveness for the abortions. Working as a nurse who helped women deliver their babies, I desired even the more to be a mother, but still felt unworthy. Studying to be a midwife, I thought, how can I help bring life into the world when I don't even deserve to be around this joy? My master said, after I revealed the truth, "You are strong to have been through all of that, but you still manage to find joy in delivering babies and counseling women." During Passover 2021, I listened to a prior sister-to-sister show where Sister Ashley said, "Remove the leaven from your heart this Passover." I fasted a few days before Passover because I was ready to let go of the guilt and unforgiveness. I was tired. And I told the Father, "I can't bear this anymore." The weekend of Passover, my master and I honored the feast together, which led to more deliverance for me. I was delivered from guilt, more self-condemnation, and negative thoughts that encompassed my thoughts of barrenness and worthlessness. The Spirit caused me to shout, "Honey, touch my womb." And he did, as he prayed and commanded. That weekend, we conceived, and we are now expecting this December. My master calls this child his Passover baby. Since joining this ministry, I have developed amazing relationships with sisters and mothers who have allowed me to embrace women and trust. I have no fear of judgment or hurt when it comes to them. Yah is real in his word. And as Pastor said this past tabernacle, Yah doesn't want to share you with anyone, not even yourself. Everyone's testimony is different, And my disobedience led me to be transparent and naked with Yah, my master and myself, as I never wanted to face the ugliness within me. I am still working on shedding more of the filth that I cause. Each deliverance sermon and every time I open his word, I feel his presence. I pray that you all stay encouraged and stay in the love of Yah. Thank you for allowing me to share. Shalom. Hallelujah.
Let's praise the Most High. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, I worship you. I worship you. I worship you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Work it in this place. No longer barren. Hallelujah. Four abortions. Hallelujah. And a miscarriage.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Come on, say. Hallelujah.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
In touch. Hallelujah. 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 No more guilt. No more self-condemnation. Hallelujah. No more barrenness. Devil's a liar. Hallelujah. Turning lives around. Yes. Jennifer, tell us a little bit about your lover, your love story. Tell us, hallelujah, how he's doing for you. What is he doing for you?
Sister Ashley, as I read this letter, I really thought about, you know, the testimony that I have of him, the testimony that I have of the Most High, where she said, you know, the Most High is not going to share you with anyone, including yourself. He's not going to share you with anyone, and I'm so happy that I have such a strong, mature husband, because he never even allowed himself to be in a position where I would put him before the Most High Yah. And I remember receiving healing. You know, we talked about going to your husband, going to your husband. You know, I understand what it's like to have something between me and Yah. But we also talked about going to your husband and confessing. You know, there were things that I had held in my heart against my husband. And I had to go and I had to confess that. And right when I confessed that, I was healed. Instantly, I was healed. So Yah is always faithful. Yah is always, always faithful. He is our faithful husband, and he always keeps us. We just have to make sure that we are keeping our end of the bargain. We have to make sure that we are truly loving him the way that he deserves to be loved. Sister Ashley?
The way he deserves to be loved? Wow, that's a powerful statement. Hey, I'm going to end it on this, at least ending this whole, the email, the story, her love story. I pray she's listening. So there's a song called Oh My Soul, and I'm going to read some of the lyrics before I play it, because this is really where a lot of, you know, trials and, you know, it says, think it not a strange thing when they come your way, you know. When you're shedding filth, as she said, there's a hell of a lot to that. And so this song says, oh, my soul, where is your faith? Where is your hope? Why are you troubled? Why are you worried? And I'll pause because Pastor talked about, I say Pastor talked about a lot, because what I mean is, what I'm really saying is, when he says something, it's my first time hearing it or ever thinking it, right? And so he said, if you reflect on King David in the word, he commanded his soul and told his soul what it was going to do. So again, oh my soul, where is your faith? Where is your hope? Why are you troubled? Why are you worried and anxiously trying to figure out all that's to come? Oh my soul, why do you doubt? Why do you fear? Where is your song? Why aren't you singing and thankfully giving him praise for all that's to come? Has he ever failed you? Has he ever left you? Has he ever spoken a promise and not made it good? He never has. He never will. He never would. Y'all tune in. It's one of my favorites.
Engaged, you do it again. You can do it again.
so sweet to trust in Jesus. Hey, take it from the old shoes, those who have been with the Father, those who know that he has never failed, he never made a promise that he couldn't hold up. Y'all believe me that he will finish what he started. Hallelujah. Let's praise him the whole dead season. I'm committed. Hallelujah. Like Brother Daniel said, we come with more power. We come with more fasting, right? More encouragement, more willingness. Hallelujah. Let trials come. It's all right. We're going to stand, y'all. We're going to stand. All right, Mother Jennifer, wrap it up. Hey, we're going to tell good testimonies all winter long. If you got them, we'll share them. Send your testimonies to straightwayhelpmeets@gmail.com, and maybe it'll reach out. Maybe it'll touch. Maybe it'll inspire, motivate, and help someone else. Send your testimonies. We will sort through them. We will pick the ones that we choose. But if you believe you have a testimony that would touch someone else, please, please share it. Hallelujah. I'm going to go out with a bang with my tribal tattoo after we hear words from Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah. Those that be planted in the house of Yahweh shall flourish in the courts of our Elohim. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that Yahweh is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Shalom.
Hallelujah. Let's hear it. Bless y'all.
In obedience.